This is an oral history interview with Mr. Mervyn Kemp, recorded at the Churton Lee Rest Home on September the 24th, 1995. We're recording on a Sony ECM tape recorder using a Sony clip-on mic, and we're now on side 9. And we're going to talk about some of the principles flowing out of your work, particularly with the Regional Council, with respect to attempting to pay particularly senior people salaries that you felt were perhaps out of whack with a fair day's work for fair day's pay, were based they were set for other reasons.
Yes, I feel quite concerned about this. It's a bit hard to explain how or why. It isn't just a question of disgruntlement that I'm not getting, never have got the pay that these others have. But I know the caliber of a lot of these people, and I say very sincerely that they are not worthy of what remuneration they receive. I know that sounds bitter, and it probably is. It's not meant to be, though.
No.
And it's just how they jumped so suddenly. The yardstick they had to measure them by was far too high, and would not have been justified by an inquiry which was stimulated by any body of people. I could quote many instances of this, and some have been given sums of money quite exorbitant. That's the only word that I can think for it, really. And what sticks in my mind all the time is I know the gentleman concerned almost every time ones I'm talking about, and I wouldn't think of hiring them at that price. But they have found out the way of going about these things and
feathering their own nest.
It's yes, it seems to be immune of the idea of setting out to give everybody equality, and then suddenly deciding that equality means a great increase in generalities, and one thing generally leads on to something else. And any day you like, you'll pick it up and see what I mean. And it seems to me the wrong people are getting the greatest share of that money.
You're not simply talking about regional council, are you?
Oh, no, no.
This is a problem throughout local government to some extent.
I think so. They used to have lots of yardsticks to measure them by, and suddenly all the yardsticks in existence disappeared and new ones came up in their place. It's the right of the people concerned being used in yardsticks commercials in the first place, because I believe one thing is apparent all the way through: the ones concerned are not left very far behind themselves. Sometimes when a criticism is heard, it's confined to criticism of cabinet ministers. I have very little quarrel what they take when it's put into comparison what others take. It's difficult to be more specific,
yes,
without having nth degree of point to make, but it just seems wrong that they've got so much, so little performance.
Indicator.
Yes.
Yes. So they're getting away with these big salaries and very little accountability.
That's right. Mm. No, I can't give them any accountability at all.
No. What about the local government ombudsman? That's not really his jurisdiction, is it? That's
no, not at all.
To do with the complaints of ratepayers with respect to their own authorities.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, that's.
So there isn't anybody really.
There's nobody, as far as I can see.
No, perhaps there needs to be.
They used to keep it under fairly strict control. That certainly caused some problems at times by disagreement between, say, a union and a non-union person. But they were worthwhile if they kept the thing on a reasonable level. And my only complaint is, I believe they're not at that reasonable level now.
Mm.
And I venture to say that the vast majority of people feel the same way.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. It's gone too far, hasn't it?
I think so.
Mm. Mm. Did you help to develop the sort of philosophy of the regional council in terms of, because it was one of the very early regional councils in New Zealand, wasn't it?
Mm.
Would you like to talk a bit about the principles that lie behind the council itself as a region, regional body?
Yes, I could. I could lend something to your making up.
Pardon?
The story you're building up.
Yes.
I could. Because in the first instance, I always have been a great believer in regional council. For long enough, it's quite incongruous. The number of times you saw, say, Wellington City spending money on functions and so on, knowing full well they're all financed out of the Wellington City coffers. And they're doing it for a regional organisation. After all, if they're presenting medals to people excelling in regional matters, then surely they should have them apart from those who do it in the council matters. And but every time I mention this to late Professor Skits, and I did many times, he'd say, he'd wave the arm, he'd say, well, don't worry, Merv, they've got plenty of money there. And they never seemed to. And
he couldn't see beyond his own city concept.
And yet when the position comes reversed, like, they become so arrogantly silly-minded that their mind is shut to anything else. And there again, a lot of the funds, they fall into a system, I think, that is, they just recognize that whatever's wrong has been there a long time, and therefore it has precedent behind it. And that justifies a lot of things, I think.
Yes, there's a great incentive not to change anything.
Mm.
And you were looking for efficiency and for good results. Is this is part of...
I, for argument's sake, a great believer in extending the work of the regional council to such bodies as the Waterside.
The Ports Authority?
Ports Authority. And the solution of power boards and such.
Do you would like to have seen the power boards run by regional authorities?
I think it's about as best, good a way as I could find.
Yes.
Because they've had all troubles in the world in trying to appoint independent outside bodies.
Yes.
And still keep the position of being in the elected from the people. There's nothing whatever of any, it seems to me anyway, there's nothing today of any realness about the purpose of fair play, honesty and everything else. There's all one body. It is the popularly elected people. They would abolish them and replace them by another monster.
What's the monster that they've created?
Well, the man who was appointed chairman of the board of directors, for argument's sake.
Of the?
Well, of the body we're talking of, the somebody, what do they call it now?
Are you talking about the waterfront people?
No.
The
power board people.
Oh, the energy direct people.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So you take away a sort of a democratic power board and you create a commercial monster. Don't you think that a lot of this has to do with government wanting to extract taxes out of bodies that didn't produce any tax?
It may have done.
It's a very poor reason.
I hadn't considered that reason very high.
It's something that was put to me recently and I thought, I wonder if that's why they've been so keen on it.
Well, they didn't succeed anyway, did they?
Well, they haven't succeeded in every case, no.
And
no.
It's a possibility, but one of I haven't gone.
No, well, it's just that the boards that existed were doing a pretty reasonable job in keeping the power prices reasonably on an even keel, weren't they? And,
except that, yes, they still had a lot of hypocrisy about it, and creating people in large positions.
Who really weren't up to it? Or who didn't need to be there?
Didn't need to be there, and the common elector, once you're elected to those posts, the ordinary elector will keep on voting for that person anyway because
they
know the name.
Yes.
And I, long time ago, I've always refused to vote for anyone standing for hospital board, harbour board, any other kind of ad hoc body when they're elected by the way they are elected. And I've also refused to take a nomination myself.
You thought they were unnecessary positions?
I thought there were, but I wanted them filled by someone on some way had some fairness in it.
Some fairness in it. Yes.
Although I must admit I wasn't quite sure
how we could do it.
I devoted quite a lot of time at one stage considering the constitute of the Wellington Airport. I had an idea when the regional council had some money and the regional airport, after all it's called regional airport,
yes.
And it's completely controlled by the Wellington City Council.
Yes.
If anything ever should be called regional and governed by a region, that's it.
It's got to be an airport, yes.
And I found I got a fair deal of support from the people, but funnily enough, the ones that stood against it were McCutcheon, town clerk of Wellington City,
yes,
at the time.
Yes, remember him. He was a power unto himself, wasn't he?
I tried to be, yes. And I think Mrs. The one who's standing at the City Council now.
Ritchie?
Yeah, Ritchie.
Yes, Helene Ritchie.
She reduces all the argument in the world against any changing of it, and I think the former mayor, Sir, some name of it.
Michael Fowler,
yes.
Yeah.
I had a couple in the same category.
But he was always putting up arguments not to change things?
Mm.
Except when it came to knocking buildings over.
Yes.
What about, he's talked about the airport and the power boards. What about catchment boards, which of course have been lost with the reform into functions that to some extent are now being conducted by regional authorities.
Hmm.
Are you comfortable with that?
I think I am, yes. It seems to me a lot of the opposition is brought about by not disturbing what is comfortable, we'll put up with it. And I think that's a lot to do with it. I have been on catchment boards representing, and I used to go. It's the one thing you'd always find about me. I'd go to whatever I was elected to go to, even though I didn't agree with my position there. Sometimes I wasn't. And I found that Catchment Board is often well represented by an engineer, competent in his right, and no financial interest at all.
No, just committed to his work.
Hmm.
Which catchment boards did you serve on? The Wellington one?
Yes, we had mainly Wellington one, yes. But I didn't pursue it very far because I didn't have a great deal to do with the main part of the catchment work in Wellington area.
would have been in Hutt Valley.
Hutt Valley.
Yes.
And it seemed like interfering with something I shouldn't interfere with.
Yeah.
And could be equally said that I didn't know about enough about it.
You've always tried to behave scrupulously and fairly in your life, haven't you?
I really have, yes. And
that's not altogether common, is it?
Well, probably not.
And even at the local government level?
Well, it's probably the worst.
So did you survived in the midst of all of this, a lot of hocus pocus, from being there for, what, 25 years?
Yes, I think I never tried to examine why, because at no stage did I honestly say this. I didn't set out to break any records or anything like that. I knew I had my own job to do first of all. First up was to make enough money to keep my kids alive. Having said that, for quite a long time, I took less than I was entitled to take. That was my contribution towards Tara struggling to find enough money.
So there was an annuity, but you took less than the full annuity, even though it wasn't very large anyway.
Yes, that's true. Mind you, others did the same.
Yes. Can you give us a feeling for what the annuity was in those days? Don't worry if you can't.
No, I can't.
No, all right. So there you were, working away from year to year. There was probably another election would come around, and you'd think, oh, well, you'd look at your wife and think, she hasn't seen much of me. But you'd go back again.
Yes, and I've only opposed twice.
Oh, I see.
In time. Each time I... And only opposed two by two people. And it would be quite untrue to say I liked it. I did like some films. But I could see a lot of things were going wrong, and the one most apparent was the amount of money. I have one young man whose name won't be mentioned. I knew him in the local government office some years ago. He was a qualified lawyer, certainly, but didn't appeal very much as being competent. And then he left that, and suddenly he appeared with the Wellington City Council in about second or third in the position there. And something, salary of $100,000 and more. Well, that was the last straw, as I was concerned, you know. And I guess he was what you expect to get for a qualified man who was very ordinary in his qualification. Nice enough chap. And but there's something wrong. This can happen. If that job was thrown open to qualified lawyers and others like that, he wouldn't have a chance of getting it.
Against others?
No.
No.
He's helped to make some very important decisions, yeah, since then.
You think largely good decisions?
Oh, most of them were associated with money, and therefore I would have to say not good decisions.
Yeah.
And
there have been some very unwise decisions made in Wellington, haven't there, over the last 10 years?
Oh, yes. Well, the crazy ones do. The craziest one, I think, is the appointment of the new town clerk there. And they appointed her, giving her powers to sack almost anybody.
That's right.
And then afterwards they, the city councillors all raised voices in protest about her doing this, you see. Well, in point of fact, she's only carrying out the powers they gave her.
Yes.
When they appoint her to her. Well, how much, it shows how little they know what they're doing when they can do that sort of thing.
No, not very competent at all. We've got about 2 more minutes on this tape and then it'll be tea time as well. I'm just trying to gather up what we've said today. You were talking about coping with elections and that sort of thing. Yes. We're just finishing. We'll be back 1 or 2 more minutes.
Okay.
But you kept on going from year to year, standing for election, and you couldn't really say why. But obviously you had community support because people didn't contest against you. They didn't contest the mayoralty. So there must have been a lovely affirmation there from the community, a feeling that you were wanted, that must have helped to sustain you in this.
Well, I'll tell you what, that feeling still stands. It's quite embarrassing.
But it's a lovely reward, is it not?
That the ordinary common man comes up many times and wants to start patting one's shoulder or something, you know. Why does it come out and stand again? Well, the one reason why I wouldn't win anyway, and I'm too old.
Did you enjoy the public speaking side of it?
Oh yes, I had no difficulty in carrying on at all.
Right.
Although I say it myself, I was a fairly good impromptu speaker.
You'd need to be, wouldn't you?
And I thought very quickly, and I could have come in quite quickly with a repartee.
Right.
And not always successful, but sometimes they were.
Yes. Well, that's the trouble with impromptu speaking, isn't it? You hope you're going to hit the mark, and you don't. One can't be sure always. Yeah. All right. Well, look, I think this tape's almost wound itself on now, so I'll just let it spin, and we'll come back tomorrow.
What time is tomorrow?
Well, I was going to talk to you about that. What I'd like to do, if you were available, would be to do it in the morning.